Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. The football season is just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and make sure you use code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Thomas Frank Carr, also known as T-Frank. T-Frank, Nittany Lions, first home game. They're now 2-0. We need to have one last look at that Ball State game. Just your overall impressions. What did you think? It was just fun for Happy Valley to be have a crowd again.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I've said all week is that Penn State blew out a MAC opponent at home in front of 105,000 in a sunny, warm, but not too warm Beaver Stadium. So it was a perfect Saturday. It was as much about everything else as it was the game. But we're here to talk about the game. So in general, Penn State did a good job. They got out of the game to do exactly what they needed to do, which was win by a comfortable margin, get some young guys playing experience, and show some progression along the offense in a couple of places. Although, on that front, I don't think it was a perfect game.
Well, there never are perfect games, but let's get into some of the X's and O's, the stuff that you excel at. And I'm going to be spending much of this time on the offense because I thought we saw quite a few interesting things from Mike Yurcich. So let's start with him. Some analysis of the things he did, and then I'll look for a letter grade for him. A lot of things that we're not used to seeing as Penn State fans. We had Clifford under center. We had multiple running backs. I think we even had three tight ends in at one point. But the big difference from Wisconsin to Ball State, Wisconsin, we saw them go over the top, stretch things vertically. This time, it looked like they were stretching things horizontally.
Yeah, and so that's been a big thing for me is that when I was doing some scouting on Mike Yurcich's offense, I was focused on the thing that stood out to me most, which was how many deep shots he takes. And that was in contrast to what you saw from Kirk Ciarrocca last year, which was there was very few deep shots last year comparatively. But a big thing through 2 weeks so far has been the screen game. You know, bubble screens on the outside, not just screens to your tailbacks, but throwing the ball to Parker Washington and getting the ball to Jahan Dotson in the flat. They have done that a lot. And it's not just that they are running, and this goes back to the Wisconsin game as well. So if you're saying they're not showing their hand versus Ball State, yes, that's probably fair to say. But they ran the exact same play multiple times. Like, maybe some variations on formation or maybe some variations on exact field splits. But, yeah, kind of the same play multiple times. And you saw how there was the Jahan Dotson touchdown on the screenplay. That was the exact same situation that they ran it against Wisconsin. The difference is Wisconsin's linemen were athletic and aware and got to the point of contact quick enough to stop Jahan Dotson on this one. You know, the offensive line got in front. Juice Scruggs got a great block on two defenders, and Jahan Dotson spring for a touchdown. So seeing a lot of screens, to me, that was one of the biggest things that I've taken away from this so far is that it's not just the deep ball. It's either – this is kind of the thing with Clemson that I've always said is, like, it's either a stop or a go. There is no in-between in these offenses. So it's much more of that ACC Big 12 offense, and that's, to me, one of the hallmarks of that is that – you're going to stress the short game, and then you're going to play off that with the deep ball.
How much of that lack of going deep also was about Ball State safeties playing deep? They were saying, we'll take our chances underneath. We're not going to let you beat us deep.
So some, but the reason I point this out is because it's consistent through 2 weeks. And I do think that there's more for this offense to give. So that's not necessarily that they're only going to run screens, but I do think that it is going to be a part of their game going forward. Ball State, yes, that was you know, my scouting report before was that they were going to play sound football on the back end. They're going to keep, you know, play complex coverages, keep you on your toes, and keep a lid on everything. They went to an extreme where they were doubling Jahan Dotson. They were keeping three guys to his side of the field 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. And then it became about efficiency for the offense. Can you make Sean Clifford make enough good decisions? Can you get that offensive line to block properly? And that's where, again, I'd say that Penn State did a pretty good job of that because they put together 10, 13, 8 play drives throughout the first half and then into the second half. When the game, they just needed to put the game away, they were able to do all of those things. So, you know, I think from the Ball State perspective, what they were able to do is make the game really boring and keep all the big plays in front of them, both on their side of the ball, which was their game plan to just dink and dunk, and on the other side, make Penn State do that. That being said, there were passes to be made. Penn State has better athletes, so they're going to get open. And they did, and Sean Clifford, he hit one of them, but outside of that, he was 1 for 5 on throws down the field. That's consistent, again, from what we saw last week versus Wisconsin.
All right, you mentioned Sean Clifford. We always have to talk about him. Is it glass half full or glass half empty? I'll give you both sides. He completed, I guess, over 70% of his passes. He didn't turn the ball over. All really good things. Glass half empty. There were some throws that just had you scratch your head with, Sean, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
Are you glass half full or glass half empty with Clifford?
I probably have leaned glass half empty for a while, but he made enough plays. He made enough good plays and good decisions to win the football game, and that's what you're asking of him to do this year. And then you're asking the other players to get open or to protect him. So everyone's got to do their job. I think at this point we know Sean Clifford is not going to elevate an offense. So he did enough of those things to win the game, and he'll continue to do enough of those things to win the game because he's shown in both a very difficult game and a not so difficult game, he's the exact same player. So it does, like, I'm not concerned with his play dipping too much and him trying to do too much as we've seen him do in the past. So I would say glass half full if that's the perspective. If you were expecting some quantum leap for him, and I think some fans were expecting that with Mike Yurcich, that he was going to, you know, quarterback guru dust and just sprinkle that on Sean Clifford and he was going to be a different player, that is clearly not happening. Where he has some of the same flaws in his techniques and his footwork and all that stuff. And this is where I go back and forth of, he is who he is. He is going to be that guy. But it's just what end of the spectrum on those deep balls are you going to be? Because you can scheme them up and your receivers can get open, and you've got to hit more of those balls than he has so far. Where if they're open, another underthrow to Jahan Dotson that could have been a touchdown. Now, that would have been a more difficult one than the one in the Wisconsin game where he was 3 or 4 yards ahead of the DB. He had a step on this guy. You do need to hit that in a tight window, but he underthrew the ball. And again, the Ball State player is not a bad football player. It's a good MAC football player. He made a play on the ball. That's what happens when you throw the deep ball. The Keandre Lambert-Smith passes, they weren't on target. And you've got to be on target with some of those. So that's where I'm glass half empty, is those deep passes. I don't think that it's going to be consistent enough for Penn State in big games, which might lead into some of the stuff we talk about later. But he is consistent on everything else. I think he's consistent enough everywhere else that he can operate an offense that can win you football games in the majority. So that's where I think you can, I kind of, both sides of that coin.
Real quick, the one thing I noticed with Sean Clifford, after he had a big run, gets up all excited, indicates the first down. I said to myself, this guy, he's so full of adrenaline. Who knows where that next pass is going to go? And sure enough, it just soared over to the receiver's head. Sometimes I think it's just about him calming down. Real quick, Yurcich and Clifford, give them letter grades.
B. And then I really liked what Yurcich did early in the game, and I think it was clear what he had to do in this game as the offensive coordinator. I'd give him A-, A-plus, you know, somewhere. It was an A grade. He called a very good game. And Clifford executing it, I would say it was a B to a B-plus.
Last one on offense, the offensive line seemed like there was still a little bit of concern when they were seeing some stunts from the defense.
Yep, and that's another area where they've got to do better at that, especially coming up. They have the athleticism to react to all of these things. It is just about the mental process and communication. And I don't think that their run blocking is phenomenal. A lot of what was happening was the running back getting into space because there were four players near the line of scrimmage for Ball State. That was the game they were playing.
Real quick, grade on the offensive line.
B minus to a C plus.
All right. I keep saying real quick, because we didn't get to the defense yet. We only have a couple minutes left. I just want you a comment on Jesse Luceda, linebacker in the first half, defensive end. His interception was such a tremendous play, I thought. Your thoughts on Luceda, the defensive end, and the linebacker.
If you look at his PFF grade, and that's just an indication of production for the most part, and they've said that themselves, he had an elite grade. I think it was 92. But if you look at, to me, when I was looking at the film of some of the stuff, he has the same problems in coverage as a linebacker of making decisions, seeing stuff in front of him, and attacking that on third and nine instead of playing his zone. But when he gets up to the line of scrimmage and he has one individual to beat, he has a very simplified game plan, his athleticism is off the charts. Like, he's convincing me. And this is what James Franklin has said. He has a future at defensive end in the NFL as a hybrid player that can drop in very specific situations and an elite run defender that has quickness, explosiveness, violence, and great hands. I'm very excited to watch him develop as a defensive end because if he can add pass rush, he becomes a legitimate borderline star potential type of player.
And finally, a guy that has become one of my favorite players, Daquan Hardy. I thought, T. Frank, the interception was fine, but when they showed the replay, his man-to-man coverage was just exceptional.
Yeah. Yes, he showed that a little bit last year. He's also really good in zone. He has good zone instincts. He's one of the few that Penn State's recruited that has that ability to trigger downhill when he sees something. And yeah, his man coverage is phenomenal. So that slot defender, I thought he might get bumped out by one of the more physically talented kids they picked up in the transfer portal, but he's held on to that job and he's excelled. And I think that's a huge thing for Penn State.
It really is. I think the only issue with him, of course, is size. I think if he's up against a 6'5", 250 tight end, he just might get boxed out because of his size. But what you think of as that small, quick, elite slot receiver, he just seems very good at covering that position. All right, we look back in quarter number one. In quarter number two, T. Frank, we're going to look forward to Auburn.
The football season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.